What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 226, and our podcast is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that, of course, gives us a kickback and helps the podcast keep on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's up, man?
Not much. Good to see you. We took a week off last week.
Yeah,
you got a little vacation in. Yeah,
yeah. It was a nice vacation. We were talking before we went live. About traveling in this weird time that we're in. It honestly wasn't bad. I'm sure in previous, especially if you like travel to CES, you do. Mm-hmm. You're used to seeing people with masks, anyways. You know, traveling so. You're required to wear a mask in the airport. You're required to wear a mask on the flight, which it doesn't bother me really.
Sure.
I'm so used to it now too. Like when you go to the store, you kind of just want to put one on anyways, just to be sure because you.
Yeah. I've noticed there's some stores here in town that like require them. Others don't. Others, you know, like all the employees, most stores, employees are wearing them or half wearing them, which essentially is not wearing one.
You do notice that people don't wear them correctly.
Oh yeah,
which is frustrating.
That's my biggest pet peeve. Like, whichever side of the like debate you're on of masks or not, like if you have one on and you're not like fully covering it, you're just doing it wrong.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, that's my biggest thing is like people just who don't wear them correctly. It's like, why are you even wearing one?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It was a nice little, was it 5 days we had in Florida? Yeah. It was nice. The beach was nice. I got a little color, but you probably can't tell.
No, you look redder than me and less pale than me. I got some sun this weekend too. Like, I know you can't tell, like my arms and shoulders got quite a bit of sun. And
there you go.
We had a mini vacation this last weekend. So
that was nice. Well, yeah. it's good that we are into like, we can actually travel and you can actually like do things. Like mm-hmm. I remember, what was it, like a month or so ago, like all the parks were closed. You couldn't do anything really. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's nice that you can, you know, at least do some things. But this is a tech podcast. So let's get into tech. For everybody that is here in the live stream, or if you're listening on audio, we do have our full show notes page that is listed in the description of both this video as well as the audio. So you can go ahead and follow along. But this week was the official launch of B550 motherboards on the AMD side. So the big thing with this, and I think it's so important, is that this brings Gen 4 to a non-high-end motherboard, essentially.
Like we've had it with X570. Now we have it with the B550. And both of those are AMD systems, right? AMD.
Yeah.
And we still don't have it on Intel. So like AMD's rolled it out to the masses, essentially. Already.
You're not going to get it on Intel just yet. While Z490 boards technically do support it, you of course need a CPU that supports it. So with B550, you're going to get Gen 4 on your top, in most cases, your top PCI Express slot, as well as one M.2 slot. That it is a little limited compared to X570, where you would get it on all of your M.2 slots and all of your PCI Express slots. Also, the interconnect was Gen 4, maybe? I don't know. There's a couple differences. But this is really great because recently AMD also announced lower end Ryzen 3 processors, which were really awesome for what you were getting. Mm-hmm. Team that with these boards, which the one that we're going to talk about today is such an awesome board. If you look at it compared to like high-end boards from a couple years ago, it looks like a high-end board. And the board that we're talking about is the Asus ROG Strix B550F Gaming. This board, we did a preview because I was on vacation and I obviously didn't have time to do a full in-depth review, but we did a little preview. And this is such a great board for, you know, a Ryzen 3 or Ryzen 5, even a Ryzen 7. you know, it has everything that you're going to want. It's more or less made for a single GPU, which is fine for pretty much most people.
Everybody.
Because you can see your top slot is an X16 slot. It is the only Gen 4 compatible slot, and that's all you need right there. And then you have your two M.2 mm-hmm. slots. The top one is Gen 4, bottom one is Gen 3, or you can do it SATA as well. And it's just a solid board. Like, it's really good. The big upgrade for ASUS compared to their B450 is that instead of getting a 4 plus 4 power face design, you're getting a 12 plus 2, which is like,
you know. So, yeah, decent upgrade.
Yeah, a massive upgrade there. Of course, the support Ryzen 3000 series processors. Now, these boards, B550, will only support Ryzen 3000 series. Even though it's an AM4 socket, it will not support older Ryzen processors. So that's something to keep in mind. But I think, you know, you team this board, which I think this board is 189, with a, you know, Ryzen 3, Ryzen 5, you have, you know, in like a nice, you know, 2060, something in that range, 2060, 2070, you have a really nice system for a very low cost, which I think is great. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just looking at this image of the board, like you said, it looks like a high-end board from a couple years ago with, you know, the covered IO, the IO shield, the nice heat sinks on everything, just the branding in general. Yeah, it's pretty nice what you can get for under $200 now.
Yeah, and the big upgrade too from their B450 board, the exact same one. You had no M.2 cooling here. You have it. You have the integrated IO shield, which I will get to. It's coming.
One of these, right?
Yeah, there. It's the last one. Yeah. The integrated I.O. shield. You have BIOS flashback button on the board, which is nice. So you can flash this. This does have Wi-Fi 6 as well, which is a super high-end feature, which I'm currently using now at home. And I love Wi-Fi 6 because it's very fast. You have USB 3.2 Gen 2. You're not going to get as many ports as you're going to get on X570, but you're still getting two on the back here. So you're getting one type C and one type A back there, USB 3.2 Gen 1s. This is 2.5 gig LAN.
Oh, it is 2.5. I was going to ask if that was gig or 2.5. That's awesome.
Yeah, 2.5 gig LAN on this. It's a solid board. We didn't get it. Obviously, I haven't fully tested it yet, so I can't talk on that. But, you know, again, for people who have been waiting, you know, Ryzen 3000 series, the X570 boards were very expensive. Mm-hmm. This brings Gen 4 and third gen Ryzen to something that's very affordable and something you can build a great gaming system. So definitely stay tuned. We'll have our full review here coming up very soon. But if you want to check out this board, we have all the pictures and I've gone into detail on a lot of it. So you guys can go ahead and check that out. But I just think that B550 is very good for AMD, and you're going to see a lot of mid-range builds that really feature that, because it's Gen 4 on a mid-range chipset, which I think is awesome. And again, you're not going to see that from Intel till at least the end of the year, if not into next year. So
cool.
Very exciting there. Another thing I took a look at, which I thought I had it here, but I cleaned my desk and I don't have it sitting here.
You've got to run out of these at some point. Like, I don't know if you have a stack of them lined up, but
I do have a stack. I was going to be doing I haven't done it yet, but I plan to do a, kind of like a video of like which one I like out of all the ones that I reviewed, because these are just awesome little drives. I took a look at the Patriot PXD. This is their portable solid state drive. It's USB 3.2 Gen 2, which means you're going to get around 1,000 megabytes a second. These drives are essentially all the same. It kind of comes down to like which one looks better, which one has the better form factor that you like. There are some that offer software and other things that also might come into your decision. This one does not offer software, but one thing I do like about it is the form factor on this one. So this is kind of like a candy bar shape, where some of them are like more of like a square and a little bit thicker. This one's very thin. Here's it next to like a pop can. Very thin. So as a guy and you're wearing jeans, you can easily put this in your pocket. And I think that's very important. And it's not like bulging out or anything like that. So I really like the form factor on this one. They offered up to 2 terabyte, which we did review the 2 terabyte version. It performed pretty much up to its specifications, as all these drives do. It is backwards compatible. So, you know, it's going to work on USB 3.2 Gen 1, USB 2. I believe they do provide the Type A connector. Yeah, so that comes with a Type C and a Type C to Type A, so you don't have to worry about compatibility. It's just a great drive. You can see here, I'll bring up some of our tests. You can kind of see where it lands. Here's all you can see where like the Gen 3.2 Gen 2 drives start kind of here and then go up. It's kind of in the middle of the pack when it comes to, you know, the speeds. It is, like I said, they're all around the same. You're going to get the around the same speeds with this. And I think it's, like I said, I love these drives, especially if you're a photographer on the go, you're a content creator on the go. These are perfect. They're super fast. They make transferring data super fast as well. As, of course, as long as you have those ports on your system. I can't say enough about these drives. They're just awesome.
Cool.
So I believe I gave this one, 9 out of 10. The only thing is there's no software, there's no backup software, anything like that. It is nice to see some type of backup or syncing software, especially a 2 terabyte drive, which is really big, where you could do, you know, some backups and things like that. So
it's a lot of data to lose, whether you like physically lose the drive or, you know, it for some reason dies on you, to not have some sort of backup software included to get that data off of there.
Yeah, it is weird that we've seen it in the past where some of these companies kind of team with like a free backup something, but I haven't seen it as much lately. Of course, Western Digital has their own, which we've seen on their drives. And so does Samsung has their own encryption and backup software too. So, and we might have one of those drives to review here very soon. So pretty excited about that. But you took a look at a product that I feel we don't see enough innovation with these type of products. We see the same kind of thing. And this is a little different. I wouldn't say it's super innovative, but it is a little different. And I think that's why we took a look at it. It was the Silverstone LS04 light strips, which you can tell us, you know, this is your review. So tell us a little bit about it.
I mean, you're right. You know, you think of a light strip and you think of this like long, I don't know, 12 to 15 inch strip that's pretty flat, and some of them will have either adhesive on the back or magnets embedded in it to attach, which those are all fine, right? When the first time I saw magnets in them, that was pretty cool. Silverstone takes it a little different route. Instead of, you know, the standard setup, they've actually gone with a really flexible rubber material on the outside that actually has two light sources, I guess you could call it. And these are kind of rectangular shaped as far as the body goes. So they have in that image you've got there, you can kind of see along the wide side, you can actually see one of the LEDs there, some of the hardware inside there. So that's a glowing side. But then on the thin edge on one side, it is translucent as well. So you can get the glow on either side. So what that helps with is, you know, sometimes when you're putting them inside the case, you don't have quite enough room to maybe get a strip between a case panel and the case frame, or you're just trying to, if you had a little thinner strip, it might've worked. So that's kind of nice. You can kind of choose exactly which way you want to route it. And as far as their mounting system goes, they use these little plastic clips that the light strip just kind of slides into, and they have magnets on the back in order to connect where you want. So the nice thing about these is you can space them as you want, depending on your case or however you want to install them. So you're not stuck with wherever the manufacturers put magnets in the strip. So that makes them a little more versatile. I do wish there was an option for some sticky backed connectors here. And that doesn't mean you can't, you know, cut your own out and stick them on here, or put a piece of double-sided tape on these light strips, because some cases aren't made out of steel and some are made out of, you know, aluminum or plastic or more glass. So I wish that was a little bit of a different option. Other than that, though, they installed great. Then the other nice thing about these is they have 40 LEDs per strip.
Oh, wow.
40. And so you get a lot, higher density and higher resolution glow, I guess you could say, from them. So you don't see the transition between LEDs in like a flowing light as much as you would on some other strips. So that's pretty nice. The only downside to that is some controllers don't support that many LEDs per channel.
Yeah, so that'd be 80.
Yeah, if you had two of them together, it's 80. So we used it with our Silverstone case and a Silverstone cooler. And right there, that controller is what actually came with the case. No controller comes with these light strips. So that's okay. Something to keep
now,
in mind.
They're a three-pin
digital, okay. Yep, addressable, yep. RGB. So, you know, make sure you're checking your compatibility depending on motherboards and things like that. But they are compatible with most major motherboards. Mm-hmm. So we had the light strips rigged up to that controller. So everything's kind of in sync there. So I did have to put each strip on a different channel on that controller because it only supported 48 per channel. Gotcha. So obviously, once it hit that number, the lights just didn't light up after that. So past that, I mean, I was pretty happy with them. They light up pretty well, glow pretty nicely. Having that controller all integrated and into the case by using that reset button is nice to have. They also include some extension cables, so you can put them in between or between the light strip and the controller to get them routed to where you want them. So
nice.
But yeah, no, they're pretty cool.
How much are they for the two strips?
So I think they were $60, just over $60, which isn't too bad. If there were any more than that, you would almost expect to get a basic controller maybe with them.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
But, you know, when you're getting 80 LEDs in these strips, and...
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people would realize.
Right, yeah, they may think that that's expensive maybe for some strips, but you factor in the amount of LEDs you have, and it starts to make more sense there. So I gave them an 8 out of 10. Really, my only complaint, I think, was that, you know, some controllers may not support 80 LEDs on a channel. So you just kind of... Yeah. Have to watch out for that.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I see, like, my computer, I'm looking at it, and like, I like it. Mm-hmm. It's like, it would be nice to have like just like the strips that are like this long, just like in certain places in this case.
Like, but accent lights.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, it would be nice to have the lights below, like some accent lights below. I know NZXT makes the ones.
Oh, to make it like glow underneath.
Yeah. Like a car.
No,
not like Fast and Furious.
No,
yeah, that's what I'm going for. So awesome reviews this week. We have some cool stuff coming up next week, which we'll talk about towards the end of the podcast. Of course, we have Case Mod Friday, and this week we featured a build from the High Resolution Computer Shop, which I think does amazing work. I believe they're in Thailand. I always forget where they're from. I believe they're in Thailand, and if you want a custom PC, you can go to them, and they can build something like you see here. So they did this build in the Thermaltake Core P3, and they've done some really cool stuff with it, which isn't apparent when you first look at it. It kind of just looks like, you know, your typical Core P3 with your graphics card, and they've done the radiator right here where most people put it. Or not radiator. This is reservoir. The radiator here, but they put a nice big reservoir there. The things you don't apparently see is their channeling here, which they've made a custom. What would you call that?
It's not a distro plate. It's like a routing plate almost.
Yeah, custom routing plate that basically is like their tubing, but it's a acrylic piece that connects everything together, which I think is really cool. And it's really awesome that they have it connecting here. They have it connecting to the graphics card, the CPU, and I believe that goes into the motherboard because this is the one board, or unless I'm seeing that wrong. I could be seeing that wrong, but just how they've cut that is just like, you know, it has to be precise to connect to everything, which I think is really cool. I just think that overall
It doesn't go into the motherboard. A tube that comes out the back and goes up. You can see it on page 2 on the top right image there.
This one. That's the top left.
Top right. Yep. Yeah, left from right. You can kind of see the tube behind there.
Yeah, it's just really how we've gone from, you know, regular tubing, soft tubing, to now mm-hmm. hard tubing, to now all of this other stuff is just like,
it's cool.
Who would think that that would be like the thing, how we're going, you know what I mean?
And it's the clear fluid, right? Even though that reservoir distro plate up front is lit up and makes it almost look like the fluid is colored, it's all clear, which makes sense in this case, because you want to
see what's behind it.
It almost looks like there's nothing in there. Like, what are you cooling it with?
Yeah. So when I first saw this build, I was like, oh, it's cool. It's hard tubing. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's like a whole acrylic piece that's kind of on top of there, which is really cool. So yeah, definitely check this one out. I think High Resolution Computer Shop, they do a really good job at these builds. They're just so good. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. they're just, like I said, they just do an awesome job, I think. You know, and here's it without like anything.
Yeah,
it's like you can't even tell cool. that anything's there, which I think is really cool. So definitely check out this build. Of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if you guys want to, you know, I always say it's good to get like motivation, or it's good to get, you know, just to see what's possible. Maybe you're thinking about doing something, you're like, I don't know, you know, what I could do. Check out our Case Mod Friday section. It has so many awesome builds in there, just to get some inspiration maybe for your next build. So yeah. And we are running a contest, which we announced last week when I was sitting on the beach. But it is an awesome, I moved all my stuff. I had the kit here. Mm-hmm. But we are giving away a Corsair Dominator Platinum RGB memory kit. This is the 32-gigabyte kit. It is the new white edition that they just announced a week ago.
So I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about this, and I've seen this kit, you know, a couple times in the last week or so, and I never really realized it till they were talking about this, that it has gold highlights. Like, yeah, those accents, like those screws and the top heatsink portion are gold, which I think looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think just a little different, but
yeah, it's like I said, it's one of our better prizes I think we've given away, just because yeah, like, they're Dominator Platinum. Like, it's the best, some of the best memory you can get. We already reviewed the black ones. We have the white ones. I have a kit here to review, so that'll be coming out soon too. But it's super easy to enter this, just like all of our contests. We do it through Gleam. There's a bunch of ways to enter. We have 5,800 entries, 22 days left. So still a ton of time to get your entry in. And yeah, so happy to give back to you guys, as we always try to do. At least we try to do a contest once a month, but sometimes they don't line up. You know, we had to wait for these to come out to announce the contest and all that kind of stuff. So definitely get your entry in. If you're looking for it on the site, it is in the show notes, but just click on this contest thing right here at the top, and you'll be able to get your entry in. So really, really excited for that. And we'll move into news this week. And starting things off, we have AMD. We talked about it for a while. Yep. Horizon refresh. I think it was yesterday, or was that Monday, 16th? Yeah. Yesterday. They made their Ryzen 3000 series, XT. Or the XT, or Matassi, is that how you say it?
Matisse.
Yeah, that's a good one, Bob. You should know those things. The refresh official. We talked about it for a while. We kind of knew what the refresh parts would be. You have a Ryzen 9 3900 XT, a Ryzen 7 3800 XT, and a Ryzen 5 3600 XT. Core counts are the same as their non-XT counterparts. And just your boost and base frequencies are a little different. Mm-hmm. So you have, for the Ryzen 9 3900 XT, you have a base of 4.7 and boost of, or base of 3.8 and boost of 4.7. The Ryzen 7 3800 XT, you have a base of 3.9 and a boost to also 4.7. And then the Ryzen 5 3600 XT, you have a base of 3.8 and a boost of 4.5. These are slight boost increases. if you have a Ryzen 9 3900X, there's no reason to get a Ryzen 9 3900XT. This is just a slight refresh to kind of close that gaming gap in benchmarks, more or less, I would say.
And even then, like, the bump up from the previous products just really isn't a lot.
Yeah. There's no reason to buy these parts over the previous, over the non-XT counterparts. The only thing that I'm excited about this, if you look at the pricing, it's identical, I believe. So maybe, you know, a 3900X will go down in price, a 3800X will go down in price, and you can pick up that part for lower than what you would have paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're building a system right now, and, you know, or when these become available July 7th, right, like, it makes sense if they're on price parity to just buy the newer one, obviously. But hopefully we see some price drops on the previous parts.
And AMD has been good with those price drops as well.
Oh, yeah.
They've done a good job with that. So, yeah, July 7th, these will be available. Not super exciting, but, you know.
It's newsworthy.
Yes, newsworthy, for sure.
Because we're coming up, I think July 7th last year was when the first gen, or the 3000 series, launched anyhow. That's what I had
said. Gotcha.
Just a year later, we're getting a little bit of a refresh.
So. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a full refresh. It's like and the thing is that we did get like those new Ryzen 3 parts. You know what I mean? And they're again moving out the B550 chipset now, mainstream chipset, because we've only had to run Ryzen 3000 series. You can only do it on X570. Now you have B550. So I kind of like this slower process. You know what I mean? It seems like so much that we get these. You know, a year later we have a whole new ecosystem, and it's like. It's kind of
you nice. Just feel bad buying, like, you buy something brand new and a year later, well, the new one's out, which obviously has been the way tech has gone forever, but it just doesn't make you feel real good. So slowing down, it's kind of nice.
I'm not against it if what I have and what I bought something when Ryzen 3000 series came out, you know, my X570 motherboard and my Ryzen 3000 series processor, if it's still doing the job a year later, I don't necessarily need a refresh. I know they do to sell parts, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, probably because COVID, you know, they were getting this slower pace, but I do like it. It allows things to mature, and it allows them to have a little bit more time to put out like an actual better product, I feel, too. So talking about B550, MSI announced that they're going to be doing sort of a Steam wallet credit with a B550 motherboard bundle. So if you buy a Ryzen processor with a B550 motherboard, you will get a credit, a Steam wallet credit. And if you wait towards the end of the podcast, you might want to use that towards some games that are just coming out on Steam now.
Yeah.
They have the bundles and what boards and how much money you could get. You can get up to $60 with certain things. So, you know, Ryzen 9 and Ryzen 7 parts with mostly their MPG line, you'll get $60. If you move down to Ryzen 5 with their MPG line, $50. Ryzen 3, $40. And then if you get Ryzen 9 and Ryzen 7 with their MAG line, $50, then $40, then $30. We have it all here so you guys can see it. But it's nice that we do get some bundles, CPU and motherboard. We usually see it with graphics cards, you know what I mean? But it's nice that we have it here. This is MSI. I don't know if Asus, Gigabyte, or any of the other ones are doing any bundles, but pretty nice. It runs from June 16th, which was yesterday, through August 31st, and it's at select retailers and select regions. So if you're thinking about buying, definitely check this out. They have all the details, which we have linked.
So that's a pretty long time, and I don't know if this is just me like trying to guess or whatever, but those are all parts like 3900X. They're not XT parts, right? So it almost makes you feel like those, like a 3800X, is not gonna drop in price, because if they drop that price, then the credit like stays the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If these processors,
or maybe get chopped they're just off, trying to.
They're or maybe it'll help us get rid of them.
Yeah, get rid of the older inventory. That's the first thing that came to my mind, was getting rid of the older inventory. So if you're thinking about doing that, which I think the, like the, what would you call it? Like the the best price performance thing is like a B550 with a Ryzen 5 3600X is like the best. I think we'll see that
performance.
That will be like the gaming system that people build right now, I think. I just think that is just a great overall system build right there. So yeah, moving over to NVIDIA. So when I left, we had some first. So these leaks are from about a week and a half ago, but I think we should talk about them because they came out, I think, the day after our last podcast, which was 2 weeks ago. We got some pictures. We got some pictures of a supposed RTX 3080. And they look a lot different from your typical NVIDIA. I mean, they kind of look like NVIDIA cards, but if you look at them, they have a rather interesting design. So if you look at these pictures, you see that there's a fan on one side and a fan on the other. There's no two fans on the same side of the card, which I actually think this makes more sense than a lot of us may think. And what's really interesting about this design is that the PCB of the graphics card is this design right here. It's this with a kind of cutout and everything.
Angled down. Yep.
And that allows it to have this fan on the opposite side. You know, that's kind of like where the PCB would be. Really interesting.
I'm wondering where power connections are. I don't know if any of those images have shown. Are we still looking at power on the side? Are we moving power to like the back of the card?
I think the power would be towards the this part, like up here, maybe.
I can't see your mouse moving.
Oh, well, that's weird. You can't. You can see it now. Okay. Yeah, like right here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, kind of on the edge where like EVGA has kind of added on their little routing thing. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think we could see it that way. Again, these are supposed pictures. They're not confirmed. Now, NVIDIA did move the power connections for their Quadro cards to this side, I believe. So it could be likely that we would see them there.
And what surprised me a lot about this was some of the rumors were saying it costs them $150 to like make the cooling solution for this card. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not see that.
That seems insane.
Yeah.
For what it is. I mean, it looks like a pretty beefy heat sink, but maybe like the way they have to route the, you know, vapor chambers and all the heat pipes and everything, it just ends up being that way.
It does look like this is a heat sink.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I've heard too, that this part of it is the heat sink. So it's kind of, again, it's just different. It wasn't what I expected at all. I expected to see the same Founders Edition that we're used to seeing, right?
Yep.
I didn't expect something completely different. So that's really interesting. So that was kind of like the first big leak that came out. Kind of made you wonder, you know, is this real? What kind of what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then there was a bigger leak with even more details. You know, we have an RTX 3090, 3080, and 3070, up to 24 gigabytes of GDDR6X VRAM, 350-watt TDP. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Sorry, I know that's not a good answer. GDDR6X, I think, will be nice. The wattage, what was it, 350 for the
350,
the high end? 3080 on a 320-watt. I don't know. I guess beefier power supplies might start making a thing again, or making a comeback, because it felt like for a long time we were just kept ramping up the wattage. I mean, this was years and years ago. And then it felt like we actually got more efficient and okay, you don't really need 1,000-watt power supply to run these systems. It just feels like we're almost creeping back up again.
Yeah, I mean, first off, Connor said the cooling solution might be a good idea. I mean, looking at it, it could be. And I think that if you're running more power, right, you need a better cooling solution.
Sure.
I think, too, is that I don't know, and obviously we don't know performance. If you look at performance, like just raw performance from GTX to RTX or 10 series, to 20 series, it wasn't small, like just raw numbers, it wasn't, you weren't getting that much more performance, right?
So maybe, ray tracing, man.
Yeah, exactly. I think they spent more time worrying about ray tracing than anything. Yeah. So with this, we might see a bigger jump, which would be good, but of course that's going to cost us more power in the long run. I think that, you know, this is a, this render here looks more like what we would see. This is not a real picture. Mm-hmm. This is a render. I'm excited. And I think that the next story that we're going to talk about kind of gives us a timeline, because, you know, a lot of people were saying way towards the end of the year, if not next year, this new leaked production timeline, which if it's true, means that we could be getting cards right in time for holiday, which I think is the perfect time for cards, I would say. So this new timeline was leaked and shows that the bill of materials, or what, you know, OEMs need, happens in May and June. Engineering validation test would happen in June. Design validation test happens June through July. When they have a working sample of the actual product would be July. Electromagnetic interference test, the EMI test, which is a validation test, you know, mid or end of July. Production validation test would be end of July, beginning of August. PBT sorting, beginning of August. Last, you know, the bio sent out to the OEMs would be beginning of August. Start of mass production in August. And then the launch would be sometime in September, with a media event and first benchmarks being released in September, with availability soon thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that lines you right up for holiday season.
Yeah, I think that would be the perfect time to launch it. They don't need to launch anything now. I don't think they do with what's going on. I don't think it would be a good time to launch in the summer. So yeah, like end of September, I think would be perfect time for launch of this. And it gives this supposed leak timeline, if it's true, gives more validation to the leaks that we've seen, because we really didn't expect to see leaks this soon on these. At least I didn't. So it kind of gives more validation.
Yeah, we're right in that perfect spot, right? I'm sure working samples are getting ready to ship, you know, or getting out there. And now we've seen like an example of what the card's going to look like in these leaks. So,
yeah. So that was the big thing. Very, like I said, very interesting stuff. Excited to see kind of more leaks come out and what we can really learn about these new cards. And you know, what their big selling point is going to be. I mean, obviously with the 20 series, it was ray tracing and all that kind of stuff. Now that we have that, what's the big selling point of these cards going to be now? Is it the more performance based?
I'm hoping performance.
You know, are we going to get better pricing because of maybe what's going on in the world? Yeah. Or are we going to be crazy? Like kind of the RTX series was when it comes to pricing.
Expensive.
Yeah. So we'll see. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on all of that. Big news from Intel. Jim Keller.
Yeah.
Who was the CEO, right?
Yeah. What? No.
Wait. Yeah.
Hang on. I'm looking. Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going.
So he was, he's only been in his position for 2 years. And now he's gone. He is that effective immediately for personal reasons. Mm-hmm. He left the company. He's going to transition to a consultant, told a kind of, you know, just transition period. But it's kind of a big deal, you know, just for the fact that he was only in this position for 2 years. I mean,
I associate him with AMD so much.
Yeah.
I guess he spent so much time there.
We are seeing more turnover, right? In a lot of these high-end positions.
Yep.
But it just seems weird, especially with Intel. A lot of people have been moving from other companies to Intel. To see somebody this big leave Intel, it's kind of crazy. Interesting. We don't really know. Obviously, we don't want to get into what might the personal reasons be. I can't think if it was anything bad, but... Yeah, he is no longer with Intel. So that's something to be interesting. The person taking over his job is Sundari Mitra.
I was going to say, he's not, he wasn't the Intel CEO.
No.
No.
He was the senior vice president in silicon engineering.
Okay, yeah.
So like I said, it's just these things, we don't see them being big deals, right? But then, you know, when Raja
left, Kadori goes,
he left and he said he was just leaving AMD and then
just taking some time off. Oh, by the way,
taking some time off, and then he went to Intel and now Intel's making GPUs. I mean, you know, how the, so this is just, this is something to keep your eye on, to kind of see what this, you know, what this might be. We don't know yet. So
he's like early 60s. So, I mean, yeah, he, I guess he could be retiring, but someone like that, I just don't see retiring early and getting out, right? He's obviously going to consult to help them through the transition and everything, but
I could see him
showing up somewhere else.
2 years is a very short time span at a company as well, especially a big company like Intel. So just keep your eye on that. We have another interesting story, a Ryzen story. Hardware Info, which I'm sure most of you guys or a lot of you guys have used, they exposed a X570 motherboard cheat feature that will effectively reduce the lifespan of Ryzen CPUs. This was found by Overclocker the Stilt, and he found this. Basically what it does is the motherboard will voltage bump in order to achieve a higher boost frequency, if that's correct. And yes, we can do this through overclocking and all of this stuff, but the problem with this is that motherboard manufacturers are using this exploit or whatever it is to do this during normal operation, right? So when it does boost, it shouldn't be boosting per se, or it's boosting for a longer period of time than what it should because it's getting fed more power. And there's a whole thing on the HW Info forums about it. It is kind of interesting. AMD does not condone this, but motherboard manufacturers do use it for better performance benchmarks. But effectively, if you're feeding your CPU more power, you're going to essentially shorten its lifespan, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, overclocking obviously shortens a product's lifespan. Now, what that actually turns into, like, I feel like products now handle the overclocking, you know, the overvoltaging, the temperatures a little better than they used to, as far as that goes. So, I mean, we don't know yet what the performance or the lifespan impact is going to be for these chips.
Yeah.
But it's possible to, you know, shorten the lifespan for sure.
Yeah. So some of the quotes that I'll read quickly. It said, the person who found this out said, "I'd like to stress that despite this exploit is essentially made possible by something AMD has included in the specification, the use of the exploit is not something AMD condones with, let alone promotes. Instead, they rather actively put pressure on the motherboard manufacturers who have been caught using this exploit." And then it says, "Some motherboard manufacturers intentionally declare an incorrect, too small, motherboard specific reference value in the AGESA. And since AM4 Ryzen CPUs rely on telemetry sourced from the motherboard VRM to determine their power consumption, declaring an incorrect value will affect power consumption seen by the CPU. For instance, if the motherboard manufacturer would declare 50% of the correct value, the CPU would think it consumes half the power than it actually does." You can see how this would obviously affect the boosting algorithm and how the CPU boosts and how long it keeps that boost for as well. And again, when you're feeding more power to something that shouldn't have that power or have it for that long, it's obviously going to affect the lifespan. So this is something to follow. Obviously, it's very interesting, you know. So we'll definitely have to.
I'll let you know if my chip dies early.
Yeah, yeah. I have all these chips here too, so we'll definitely keep an eye on this one. We have a new case this week, and I think so. NZXT has their custom craft or CRFT series of cases that they put out or products that they put out, and I think this one might be one of my favorites. It's actually very well done. So these are special edition cases that they come out with, based off of something to do with gaming, mostly gaming.
Was Ninja's CRFT?
Yeah, that was the second one, I believe.
Okay.
So we've seen the Ninja case. We've seen some other ones. I think there was a World of Warcraft cases as well.
Yep.
This one is for Rainbow Six Siege. It is very cool, I think. It just... These are renders. I wish I had the actual pictures because they look better than the renders. The front, of course, has the six with the gun. You know, and then you have the six here, which is really cool. Little hanger there. You know, kind of like this Rainbow Six Siege look here. But the back, I think, is the coolest part. It actually has the puck or whatever you want to call it, but it's
designed that's what it is. I was trying to figure out what that was earlier. I was like, is this thing hanging off the side? But if it's the puck, it's just that's cool.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool. It just looks good. Only 500 of these will be made, $249.99. I think if you're a fan of it, we always talk about this. If you're a fan of the game, this is a case that you would consider. If you're not, it's nothing that you would really be interested in. But I think this is one of the better ones that they've done. Just the more details, like the little hanger here and the puck, you know, designed as what is that, like a bomb or something?
Yeah, I can't think. I don't know.
It looks like a bomb. So I think it's really cool. I like this one. And I like kind of what I like that NZXT does this. It's just like, if you're really a fan of whatever it may be, what they're, you'd want to pick one of these up, I think. And especially considering they're really limited edition, only 500 of them are being made. Check that out. We have the link if you want to go ahead and pick one of those up. And well, CompuTex is officially canceled.
It feels like we've gotten that announcement five times, but it's just been like, oh, we're gonna delay it, oh, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. Okay, it's like done, right?
Yeah, so obviously the original date was June 2nd to June 6th. That's a normal time for CompuTex. It'd be right around that or a couple weeks ago. We saw a lot of announcements a couple weeks ago because that's when CompuTex was supposed to be, obviously all online things. It was postponed until September 28th till September 30th, you know, but with so many of companies have just pulling out, it kind of doesn't make sense for them to do the show, to pay the money for the space and to do all that if half the companies aren't going to be there.
Right.
So it has been officially canceled. They released a statement, you know, about everything obviously to do with coronavirus and everything like that. They set a new date for 2021, June 1st to June 5th. And that is, that's pretty much it. I can't say I'm not surprised. It kind of makes me wonder about CES because that is coming up. You know, the first week of 2021. Do you think that there will be a CES?
I was thinking about that. Like, it was either yesterday or today, one of those shower thoughts. I was just like, okay, we're actually going to be coming up on the time to like start thinking about booking the hotel and all that. I don't know. I can almost see them either not doing it or pushing it back, but you start pushing it back into the summer of 2021.
I don't think it will be pushed back.
You think they'll do it?
Here's the interesting thing that I see is that we're in June, and at least where I live and in Vegas, because the casinos are open now.
Yeah.
Especially by that time, unless there's some resurgence, which I don't assume there will be, but unless there's some crazy resurgence of the virus, things are going to be open. I mean, when I was in Florida, you didn't have to wear a mask anywhere. You know, even now, like here, you can go to restaurants and stuff and Yeah. And by that time, things are going to be open. The only thing that we do, you worry about a little bit, is that everybody's traveling from different countries to get there. And that could be a thing. It could be required to wear a mask in the show floor, which I probably would do. As long as companies don't say they're not good, like big company, like the Intels, the AMDs, those big, the Samsungs,
chill it off before it even gets a chance to become a thing.
If those companies pull out, then I can see it being canceled. But if those big companies are coming, and they don't have a lot of other holdouts, you can see some restrictions as far as CES, again, with masks and things like that. But I think it would probably happen unless, you know, we haven't heard anything yet, but that's kind of the next big show that's kind of on our radar that's kind of coming up. So,
yeah, you know, maybe they'll restrict like the number of press passes they give out and industry insider passes. I don't know. I'm sure it costs a lot of money to exhibit. Obviously, it does to be on the show floor. Maybe companies will, you know, you'll have
and more people. And the thing is, you have to think about too is that these companies, you assume they want to protect their employees. And that show floor, I mean, every year we come back and we're
sick. I'm telling you now, I went last year or this year for the first time to Everest, or what's it called? I had it on the tip of my tongue earlier. The international area, I guess you could call
it. Yeah.
You know, all these, and those booths are packed in there. And we were like, Derek and I, when we were walking through there, were like joking because in January, this really wasn't yes, we knew about it, but right now it's only in China. We're like, this is, you know, where everybody gets, you know, the CES cough and all that from, which is a thing even before COVID-19, right? Everybody always talks about the CES flu and all of that. But they're like, this is where you end up getting that because everybody's just jam packed in here, horrible, probably air circulation. So I won't be going there to that part. But
yeah, it's going to be interesting because right around now is like I usually book the room. Yeah. So it's kind of like I'm kind of on, you know, I'm going to give it probably another month or 2 months just to kind of see what's gonna go on, but we'll keep that in mind for sure. But moving on to gaming, another big EA title has made its way over to Steam. So the entire Battlefield franchise is on Steam now. So it is, you can buy it on Steam and have it in your Steam library, but it still launches Origin. Which I don't know why they're making this massive deal. I think it's great for people who want to launch one app to have all of their games in, right? We have all these launchers for all of our games, and to have them all in Steam. I know you can still do the shortcut thing in Steam. Like you can launch other games via Steam.
Yeah, you just got to point it to.
Yeah. This just makes it easier, and it's a PR thing for EA, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess this is that's the thing. So if you, and yeah, I guess you can purchase it on Steam as well. So if you do buy any of those B550 combos, you have Steam credit, you can use it to buy these. Okay. I think universally Steam should be the thing. And then launch another launcher when I play the game. But I do like opening one app to have all my games. I don't want to have to open multiple apps. And I do think like the friend system on Steam is good to like see what your friends are playing. Mm-hmm. I also like that since they're the latest update, they have like the suggestions or like you might enjoy this. And of course,
you're talking about all the Steam stuff and like my gaming habits for the last, months. I'm like, I don't know the last time I even launched a Steam game. It's been Apex Legends out of Origin and WoW Classic out of
Battle.net.
You're talking about these updates. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
Well, the only reason I know about those is because when I benchmark, I run Steam games. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that if we did have one universal one, had everything, it would be so much better. But I don't think that's going to happen.
If we could get that for like streaming media, so like if I could combine Like, I'd love to have Flex be able to see my Netflix and my AT&T, you know, streaming and my HBO streaming and all that. And like, if I search for a movie and it's available on one of those or three of them, like, it's going to choose the best option or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that all needs to be a thing. But
you gotta, totally different. You have to create it. Shinny said, game launcher TM. Yeah, create it. Somebody has to create it.
Do it. Yep.
So talking about Steam, the Steam Festival is going on now. So this is sort of like an online game festival. It's called their Summer Edition. It's now until June 22nd. Basically, it's going to showcase new games from developers and allow you to interact with the games and developers and all this stuff. It's all on Steam if you want to check it out.
So is this taking place of their normal summer sale? Or is this their summer?
I think it's an event more than a sale. I think it's like... Okay.
Celebrate. I think it's more of a, demos and live streams, chat with the
devs. Yeah. Yeah, so it's more like... It's more interaction than a sale. Okay. And I think there'll be demos of games that are in development, which is kind of cool, that are kind of launching at the same time. So as they're talking about this game, because a lot of times you see a game at like E3 and then you don't get to play it for like a year. Maybe you'll get a demo at the same time they talk about it. You know what I mean?
And game demos. Remember that? When game demos used to be a thing?
You remember getting like a PC, or I don't even know what it might have been, a PC gamer and it had the CD in it with like the demos on it.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Oh yeah, like the Battlefield 2 demo that like had one map and you're like, oh, playing it for months waiting on the game.
Yeah, those were the days. I remember just going in and seeing like what demos were included on the demo CD.
That's the one you buy, the magazine you buy.
That's the magazine you bought because you wanted those demos. So
yes, one demo disc from Pizza Hut. Yeah.
Yeah. All kinds of cool stuff. Man, I feel old now.
I have my, like, when I bought my PlayStation 1, like, it had the demo disc, and I know exactly where it's at. It's like, get over there.
I do remember the demo discs that you got with the consoles. It was just like, yeah, man, I feel so old now. But that's going to go ahead and wrap things up as far as news this week. We do have some cool stuff coming up next week. So I'll be taking a look at two gaming products. Actually, well, the third one is more of a streaming product, which we'll talk about in a second, which can't really talk about, but we'll talk about it.
You've already said too much.
I've already said too much. I'll be taking a look at a massive mouse mat. And this is actually bigger than one of the other ones I had. So this is a super massive mouse mat from XPG or ADATA XPG. It's called their Battleground XL Prime. Battleground XL Prime. It is huge. It has RGB lighting, of course. But I just like it because it's massive. It is enough room for my keyboard and my mouse. I'm using it now. So I'll have that review for you guys. It's huge.
Out of all the stuff that's come out, like, in years, like, you know, we're used to mouse mats and gaming mats, and they were hard surfaces, but mouse mats or desk mats, once you get one, like, there's no going back.
Oh, Dixie Mac had their group buy for their new mouse mats, and I bought four of them.
Dang.
Well, yeah, because they look so cool, and they're good for like taking pictures of products on and things like that. So I bought a bunch. So I'll have this review for you guys next week. And also, which this is sitting in front of me, is a keyboard. It's the HyperX Alloy Origins. That is their full size keyboard, so full complement of keys plus full number pad. And this one has this switch right here, which is their new Aqua switch. Which I like. I do think that HyperX, if I wasn't gonna go like the really high-end keyboard that I have, I think they do it the best because the entire chassis is metal. On both their Alloy Origins core as well as their full Alloy Origins, it just feels really good. So I'll have that for you guys as well. So really good keyboard. And for a full-size keyboard, it does have a detachable USB cable, which I'm a huge fan of, which you don't see on full-size. You see it on 10 keyless in lower, but full-size having detachable Type-C, I believe, Type-C cable I like that. So I'll have that for you guys next week. And we will have another product which launches tomorrow, which Ryan is talking into. So that's all we're going to say. But it's very cool. And the software with it is also very cool. So we'll have that for you guys tomorrow at 9 a.m. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Check it out and, on the site.
We're getting to the point where we talk about if we did anything tech related.
I just like tonight after I got home from work and before the podcast, got a new video editing software. So I'm really excited to start using that and try and make some highlight videos from our Apex games and stuff. So
nice.
Trying that out. I bid it on a couple like cameras. I have the Canon M50. That's what I use. I was trying to get one extra one to start using as a webcam, a streaming cam, because I don't want to have to like put mine up and then take it down and put it up and take it down. Shitty Gaming says highlights.
Exactly.
Thanks.
I agree with Shitty on that one.
I'm just trying to get another body, a Canon M50 to use as a webcam. So I'm trying to pick one of those.
Yeah, I've still been looking for a Go XLR. Can't find one. The Go XLR came out.
Something. Yeah.
I'm thinking they might come out with a new one.
Well, there might be like a new product that.
I know what you're saying.
I did see one on Amazon today that's a programmable like work surface type of thing. It has a dial and buttons, and like the Stream Deck has the buttons with the LCDs behind them. It was kind of like that, and they do say it supports like Streamlabs, but it was like $500 and some. But it looked really cool. I think Bad Seed Tech did a quick review on it, how he uses it in his video editing. So I don't even remember the name of it, but I'm sure you can find it. It was pretty cool. I'll try and find it.
Yeah, I've been trying to. So I went to. Here's a funny story. So you can see. I can't even do it. You can see this tabletop. So this is my old IKEA tabletop. That's what I use to take pictures and stuff on. It has scratches all over it. So the other day we go to IKEA to get.
Hey, I went to IKEA the other day too.
A couple new ones because. That in where I live, we just moved. We talked about went all the way out to IKEA, and they were out of all white tabletops. So I was just so upset because I was just like, I can't even buy like a bigger one. They were just all gone. So I haven't got a new tabletop yet.
Do you have like Menards? You guys have what? Menards?
I've never even heard of that.
It's like a Lowe's with a little.
The thing
more
is, the reason I like these ones is because they're cheap and they're.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're like I think they're $8.99 for that one.
Yeah, I would have bought one if I had a way to get it back from Kansas City this weekend because I looked at the exact same thing and it was like $7.99 or whatever for that tabletop and I was like, God, this is such a good deal, but I don't have a way to get it back.
Yeah, so I will. I'm not fully set up. I also bought. A new stand or a new monitor stand for this one. It's a taller one because where my monitor sits is just slightly too low and I'm at the top of the pole for the monitor arm. So I bought a bigger one and I'm going to move this one over to there. So I'm doing some more upgrades. I'm still not like fully set up here, I feel, yet. But we're getting there. So I did that. Did I talk to you about the Apple Watch?
I think you had mentioned you got one.
I've been using it. I actually really do like it. I didn't think it's so much more convenient to just like when you go like this, you see your alerts. I really like that. It's really nice to just see, this person texted me, this person, this is this email. I don't have to pick up my phone, which is nice. Or like you're somewhere where you have your phone in your pocket. You can just look really quickly. I kind of like that. So that's been really nice. And as far as like, I haven't really done workouts with this, but like every time I walk the dog, it's literally two clicks on this to start like an app that tracks you, which is nice.
I stopped wearing mine. I need to turn back on. Not my Apple Watch. I don't have an Apple Watch, but I have a Fitbit.
Yeah.
Or so too, I think.
Yeah. This, I was never a fan of wearable tech, but this is, I'm actually a fan now. It's very good. And I wore it in the ocean and it, obviously didn't break. So that's good too. So
Cool.
So yeah, so we're gonna go ahead and end things. We will be gaming on Twitch. So I'll bring up that for you guys. Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers, Apex Legends. I haven't gamed since the last time we played, so that's 2 weeks. So I'm pretty excited to get into that. I'll probably be really rusty, and by the time I get good, Ryan will want to be done. So so we will be over there for you guys. So definitely head on over there. Ryan will get that all set up. For everybody, of course, it is just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting app or software. That's pretty much it, guys. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week.